Good morning and welcome to God Talk. This morning I'm going to do the second section of a program, a series on prayer. What is prayer? What kinds of prayer are there? How do we pray? What seems to work and what doesn't? Prayer, as I said last time, is communication with God in all its forms, from the most intimate, mystical prayer where there's a clear sense of union with God, actual union with God. And I am a mystic and I have had those, and I know others who have, both personally and through reading the lives of some of the great prayer people. From the most intimate to the most distant, where I remember my agnostic days. They say that there are no atheists in foxholes, and as a Marine, as I was in those old days, yeah, when you're up against it, God, if you're there, help. Kind of like, the old-fashioned smoke lifted from one mountaintop to another, smoke signals. If someone's there, I hope that they hear it, or sending out a bottle with a message across the ocean, hoping someone gets it, or sending out messages, as we have done and are doing, into outer space, hoping that someone will pick it up and figure out that, gee, this is actually a message of someone who is alive, an intelligent being or whatever. Okay. Jesus teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount, in the 6th chapter of Matthew, the following: whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Of course, we may not know what we need, so one of the purposes of verbal prayers is to put it out there. What exactly is it that we're seeking? And to keep talking with God like the psalmists do. Keep on the line. We are told to continue to pray constantly. Prayer, again, being when you turn your being to God. And one way to understand it, as I understand it, is God is the eternal you, ever before you. No matter, like when you're outside, and we had the eclipse recently, but there's that sense of the presence of the sun when it's daylight. So wherever you turn, the sun is there. That God is the you, the one ever over against you, of your life. I remember, even though I was an agnostic at the time, when my brakes failed, going back from Clearwater, Florida, to the University of Florida, where I was a freshman, and it was late at night, and I was coming up to a very busy intersection, and I hit my brakes, and there were no brakes, and I couldn't pull off the road because there were horrific ditches on both sides of the road. And there were cars going back and forth and back and forth, and here I am entering that intersection. I said, God, I mean, what else are you going to do? Hopefully there is a God. And miraculously, there were no cars coming either way, from my left or my right. Wow. Now, I didn't say God did a miracle then, because I wasn't sure there was a God. So I figured, maybe that was just one of those wonderful flukes. So understand that God is the you of your life, who can become real to you through others, through a loved one, through a parent, through a spouse, through a child, through a friend. That person can, so to say, incarnate the you, the loving, understanding you of God, like a clear window pane can incarnate, reveal the rays of the sunlight. that is the one to whom we pray. We're told to always pray. Jesus says before he tells the parable of the poor widow and the judge, about he said that it's concerning their need to pray always and not to lose heart. Continue to pray. Don't give up on God. Maybe sometimes, you know, God's going to test us to see how much we want something if we just don't let go of it. And as we get into to more intimate prayers, the desire for God, the naked heart desire for God is the most important thing that draws us. And just persevering in that desire to know God for God's own sake will ultimately get us there. And Paul tells us a few times, first in Romans 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. It was in Genesis when Jacob persevered in wrestling with the angel, like persevering in prayer, he would not let go of that angel until the angel blessed him, that the angel of God said, okay, your name is no longer Jacob, now it's Israel, which means the one who strives with God. Have you striven with God over a prayer, being in a hospital, praying for a loved one, praying for yourself before surgery, praying for the world, praying for those who are going through a catastrophic hurricane and tropical storm in Texas right now, Harvey? I hope we're in prayer for those as well and do what we can do. Persevere. And in Ephesians, pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. And one of my favorite passages from the fourth chapter of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Wow. Or as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians simply, pray without ceasing. As Brother Lawrence would have it, a few centuries ago, practice the presence of God in your heart, in your mind, that you are seeking to sense God's presence with you always. And prayer is that being with God. And the whole point of prayer ultimately is being with God, not just getting something from God or asking for whatever, an intercession, a petition, or giving thanks to God, but the desire to be with God. Prayer is much more profound than we have any understanding. And as a Christian, there are so many great persons who have lived who were prayer warriors, great mystics who understood that God wanted nearness, God wanted intimacy with us. I've been teaching prayer for decades, and I know people don't know what prayer is. They tend to think of it as a formal thing, as something you say, like the Lord's Prayer, or grace before a meal, or a benediction. That's one kind of prayer. But the prayer I want to talk to you about as we move later in this half hour into breathing exercises is just opening yourself like you would at a beach to the sun, opening yourself to the God who is more with you, closer to you than your own eye, and being willing to consent to God being with you and in you. I wrote this last year. It's called Prayer's Magic Carpet. Prayer is as an unseen carpet, though not at its beginning, but only as you stay on it, persevering through its moods and colorations. At first, prayer may seem like a narrow patch of grass, on which to merely sit for a verbal releasing. Oh, God, blah, 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 blah. Whether the sun is shining with glad rays of hope and faith, or hiding behind projected clouds of doubt or despair, anguish, or anger. Oh, God, don't let them do this to me. Oh, God, help my son, daughter, whatever it is. Yet if you remain in prayer, that's the key. Because it's a two-way communication, you know. Yeah, we got to get our hearts spoken. We got to become aware of what's in us, but then we need to learn how to listen. To listen to the one who is actually with us. Yet if, back to the poem, if you remain in prayer, granting it the time it needs to catch up with the invisible space prayer alone opens. There's a mutual space. It's real. It's as real as opening a door and entering into a different room. I've been in that temple invisible. Quick as air to fill your soul, that lowly patch of prayer grass will transition into a vehicle meant for flight. Better still, prayer at last will be grasped for what it truly is, a magic carpet designed from above to take you where it wills, to unmask sights and sounds, tastes and touches not of this place. Prayer's magic carpet will lift you to sacred space, reserved for you alone, as your personal abode of being in relationship to the Beloved. Okay, insert. One of the greatest definitions of prayer is prayer is the flight of the alone to the alone. Prayer is the flight of you alone in your secret space. Prayer is the flight of the alone to the alone, capital A. Back to this. Prayer's comforting carpet will take you where you secretly already are. You're already in that room. God's already in you. Which, upon arriving, you will find is your shared space with God. So I'm obviously talking about a kind of a prayer that so few of us have any idea really exists, or we may want to think of it as Eastern meditation or yoga or Buddhistic meditation seeking nirvana, this awakening sense of the utter beauty beyond words, utter goodness beyond our concept, truth, the truth which I'm saying to you is prayer space, your shared space with God. All right. When you are open to God in prayer, and I have been teaching prayer for decades, there are at least six entryways of divine communication. So you get in there and your heart seeking God, that's and you're persevering in that desire and risking the faith that God is actually real, that God is actually there, that God's gonna answer your prayer. Give it time. God will make God's self manifest to you. There are at least six entryways, portals, that God will affect, touch during a prayer session, whether it's a 10 minutes, and I think in terms of 10, 20 minutes to begin with, 5 minutes if that's all you can do, and we're going to get to breathing exercises in the second half. But these are the six entryways that God will affect you, will communicate to you, and listen up. First, your thoughts. You will find yourself thinking in a way that really is God-inspired. It'll be positive. It's not going to be fear-generating, because that's not of God. That's of the enemy. God will never generate fear in you. Quite the opposite. God will give you new thoughts, a new language. You'll find yourself thinking new thoughts, words that are God-inspired. Second, imagination. I remember this one particular woman, she always received during prayer these little visions of God, you will enter into maybe an imagined scenario generated by God who may appear in it. You'll just have this flash. Oh, I've had so many. As we're visualizing that, we need to take a little quick break for the weather. Okay, we're back. The six entryways of divine communication. Learning to listen to God. And prayer is listening as well as speaking. And prayer is above all being together. Second is imagination, as I just said. So I've had visualizations where God was speaking to me. You know, you may not think much of this, but I remember a confirmation class decades ago at which a young man, I had him it was a guided meditation. I had them imagining in prayer, I was talking them through it, there were about a dozen kids, that Jesus was coming to their house. You ready? So that's, they had their eyes closed. They were imagining that Jesus was coming to their house. And I said, okay, there's a knock on the door. And you go to the door, and we're in prayer now. They're visualizing this. And you open the door, and there's Jesus. Well, with this young man, this wonderful young man, not only was it a real event for him, but Jesus seemed to be there for him, stepped in and called him to ministry in that visualization. So he started crying quietly. And he eventually did become a pastor. God spoke to him, but it began as a visualization. And another one of that very same group, a young lady, she had a visualization. She had issues with her mother that Jesus entered and said, where's your mom? I want to meet your mom and help to bring some healing between the two of them. This stuff's real. I've been at this for a long time, folks. Third is will. Oh. God will work through your will to strengthen your will. You see that in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus said, you know, God, let this cup pass by my lips. I don't want to suffer and die. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Your will be done. So I have prayed before, and I know others who have, and I recommend it to you. If there's something that you think God wants you to do, you can pray, God, give me the passion, give me the will, the strength, the fortitude to do what I believe either I want to do and or you are calling me to do. You'll discover greater passion for God and a desire to do God's will. It's an important prayer. God, increase my passion, my desire, not just to know, but to do your will. Fourth, feelings. God will take away fear, take away negative, dark feelings, change them to brighter ones, to the sense of love, hope that all will be well eternally, that generates the feeling of peace. Fifth, God will touch your memory. He'll help you, or she'll help you, because I don't want to say God's he or she. God is both and neither. God is beyond gender, my friends. God will help your memory to remember times when God was there for you, which can comfort and assure you. So I remember taking a young man back in prayer who had real serious issues with his mother, that he remembered that she was just a grouch and, oh boy, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we went back to when he was about 7 or 8 years old and he and I were playing catch and Jesus was with us. This is a healing of memories. Healing of memories. I've been a practitioner of powerful stuff. Anyway, here's what happened. So his mother, in the visualization, in the memory of playing catch outside his farmhouse in Nebraska, the back door opened and his mother called him. And of course he's thinking, ah, Mom, what a grouch. Anyway, so we visualized going to the back door and we're both, you know, in prayer together, our eyes closed, we're not touching, we're just praying together. And he started crying, just crying and then weeping. And I said, what's going on? He said, my mother's smiling at me. I forgot how she used to smile at me. That changed his life. He'd been through multiple marriages at that point. It really began a process of his healing for how he felt about women, beginning with his own mother. I got a phone call from him a decade or so later. He was married, happily married, and he was a trucker, and he was on the road, and he called me to say the healing worked. God healed memories. Powerful stuff. Sixth is what's called intuition or discernment. You can't describe it, but you have the sense of God's presence. One way you know it, my friends, is your heart is stirred. It stirs your heart in a good, powerful way. Now, each of you has your own sacred path, your own way to God. Just like, you know, there could be 5,000 couples who are married in a gigantic arena, and they each have their own relationship. You can't step into someone else's marriage and say, okay, I'm going to be your spouse today. Oh, I don't think so. I don't even know who you are. Plus, you don't know what goes on between those two people. I've spent just hundreds and hundreds of hours doing marriage therapy, trying to get inside the we of a marital couple and their problems and hear his world and her world and what's their world together and try to be an assistant to that. You know, I'm so blessed with a great marriage. We've been together 49 years and no one else can even begin to understand what we've been through, what specific words, memories, events, what they mean to us, no one else can get. And I can't get for some other couple. Well, imagine that in the context of our life with God, because we're ultimately going to all of us be in a union with God. So we have history. And prayer involves also your history with God. As you know, the state of your prayer life really is the state of your life with God. The state of your prayer life is a statement of where you are in your relationship with God. So I recommend that you learn how to pray and persevere in prayer so that your relationship with God can mature. Okay, I want to spend, we only have a few minutes, but I want to get into breathing exercises, and what we don't finish we'll do next time when I want to get into praying the scriptures. My friends, I want to teach you how to pray the scriptures next Sunday, which has been around for more than 1,500 years as central to how to pray. You don't just read the scriptures. You can pray the scriptures and God can speak to you through those scriptures. Trust me on that. And then I want to get into centering and abiding prayer. If we get to it next week or not, I'm not sure. We'll see. So, okay, breathing exercises. Now, I have taught world religion at Muscatine Community College for years, and I would teach breathing exercises to these young men and women, often who were agnostic, if not atheists. And I would say, okay, this is a breathing exercise that you don't have to have a God, but that you're praying to, but it's just a meditation. And we would do it for 10 minutes, turn the lights out. And it's amazing how effective this was at helping these young men and women to realize that there is this sacred space, this place of peace. And here's the idea of breathing exercises. It's very simple. You don't change your breathing, but you focus on it. So you can let your thoughts go wherever they go. You don't try to fight your thinking. And I'll say this again and again as we get into prayer, because your mind always works. You're always thinking. There are five stages of sleep, my friends, and we're thinking in all five of those stages. The REM, which is the second stage, is where we actually have dreams. But if someone would wake you up at any of those five stages, like a diver going deeper and then up to the surface and deeper every 90 minutes, that's basically for most of us, if someone woke you up, you would be able to say what you're thinking. So it's prayer and meditation is learning to let go, and let your thoughts go where they go. So we have a very strong 90-pound puppy. And when he jerks, sometimes you know, just let him go, because it's just see where he goes. Just let it, don't fight it, just let your thoughts go, and you can even learn to observe your thoughts. Okay, more on that later. Back to breathing exercises. So if you focus on your breathing, it helps you to let go of these other things and for a few minutes gently enter into this space, this invisible prayer space, meditation space. So I would have the students breathe in peace. Of course, it'd be absolutely quiet in the classroom. And I'm going to suggest you do this week, and I'll give you a couple of other breathing exercises next week. Breathe in peace, just a normal breath. And when you breathe out resistance to peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in the knowledge of God. You breathe in peace. There's a song, peace is flowing like a river, flowing out of you and me. The peace. Peace that is saying, all is well, all will be well. Relax, trust, let go. Just breathe in peace and breathe out resistance. Focusing on your breath. And if you get distracted by some thought where you got to be in a half an hour or a concern you've got, you can let that go and come back and focus on your breathing. Breathing in peace. Breathing out resistance to peace. So you yield to it. More and more and more and more. Breathing in peace. Breathing out resistance. As you're focusing on that, a couple of quotes, first from Mahatma Gandhi. Prayer is not asking. It is a longing of the soul. It is daily admission of one's weakness. It is better in prayer to have a heart without words than words without a heart. So it's not our words that matter most, it's where your heart. It's the heart stirred, seeking God that matters most to God. When every hope is gone, when helpers fail and comforts flee, I find that help arrives somehow from I know not where. Supplication, worship, prayer are no substitution, are no superstition. They're acts more real than the acts of eating, drinking, sitting, or walking. It is no exaggeration to say that they alone are real. All else is unreal. This is still Gandhi. The inner voice is something which can't be described in words. And learning to listen to that inner voice, my friends, we all have it. But sometimes we have a positive feeling that something in us prompts us to do a certain thing. The time when I learned to recognize this voice was, I may say, the time when I started praying regularly. And Mother Teresa of Calcutta, blessed saint, prayer makes your heart bigger until it is capable of containing the gift of God himself. Prayer begets faith. Faith begets love. Love begets service. And service begets peace. Wow. Prayer begets faith. Faith begets love. Love begets service. Service begets peace. If you would like to hear this show again, I will have it on my website shortly, drhalgreen.com. drhalgreen.com. And we will pick it up and talk more about breathing prayer and praying the scriptures next Sunday. God bless us all.